Series on prayer, and we've been doing this for the last, oh my gosh, it's been like a couple weeks. It's actually my third installment, and we're probably going to go for a little bit on this. And I know on the bulletins, it kept saying every week, why pray? And I would send the email off to Tom and say, this is my title. But then as I was praying about it more, I realized, oh, I forgot this part. I got to add this in before I move on to the next stage. And so we're getting back to this, the why pray. Before that, why don't you turn to your neighbor? Right. Say, hey, good looking. Right. Did you know God is madly in love with you? Just real simple. Hey, good looking. God is madly in love with you. Right? You got to add that madly in love with you part. So, you know, incidentally, it'd be nice actually on our anniversary Sunday if some of you guys would want to do some special music. You know, I know Margie would probably do something beautiful for us, but you know, someone else maybe not as talented that would do it, and maybe it'd be really nice. Actually, Mike's gonna. You're going to do something? You're going to rap next week or what, man? You're not going to rap? Are you going to sing a song? Okay, okay. Mike, our resident pop star, is going to sing a song for us next week. I'm adding the hype right now, so we get ready. Okay. Don't be a baby, man. Come on. Right. One of my, I've been very blessed through many years, and I've been fortunate to have many mentors in my life. And, you know, I'm also the type of personality, I'll just walk up to someone and say, hey, can you mentor me and stuff. And so as a result, you know, I think I receive a lot in that way. And one of my mentors, some of you guys may be familiar, but it's Reverend Bob Oh. I know in Korean that means dumb, but so he changed his name, you know, Bob Oh, right? Okay. I'll teach you some Korean along the way and stuff. And so, but so he goes by Oh Seokwan, right? Pastor Oh Seokwan. And so he... You know, as during one of our mentoring meals, we were talking, you know, and about prayer, about, you know, about seeking God, you know, but a lot of these things that I was talking about. Remember last week I talked about, you know, my whole purpose in doing this whole series is I want to change your attitude about prayer. You know, I want you to move in some kind of paradigm shift, and where we looked at prayer in the past as something really boring, right, something that we had to do, you know, if we want to be in line with God, and to something instead that brings joy and brings life into us, and that we want to pray. You know, I mean, what an incredible transition that you would make as a believer is if you thought in the past that prayer is this chore that you had to do, or sometimes you didn't have to do and you didn't do, into something that you wanted to do, that you wanted to meet with God. You know, and so Bob is one of these guys that I really admire because he has a very active prayer life, and I know he prays all the time. And you know, I mean, this guy spends a lot, you know, every year he goes up to the mountains and he fasts and he seeks the Lord for that year. And it always sort of challenged me. And as we were talking one day, he started sharing with me more of his heart. And he said at one point of his life, he really felt like God had asked him to resign from his pastorate. You know, he was a pastor. He started actually three churches. And so the main church that he was at, he really felt like God had asked him to resign. You know, and so, he was a little unsure. You know, he's got three kids. You know, he's got a wife. And the wife was actually in grad school at Fuller. And so, you know, very difficult financially. But he really felt God's leading. You know, and after he had prayed, he received confirmation. And so with his church elder board, he resigned. He was still on staff. You know, he was still doing the work. But he decided that I'm not going to receive a salary from this church. You know, I mean, that's pretty gutsy. You know, three kids, you know, and they're not like a... the kids are not like little. These guys are like high school kids, you know. And, you know, you got to pay allowance, and, you know, they got to wear the nice shoes, you know, that they can't wear the, you know, the pro kids. They got to get the Nikes, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a very crucial time in the life of these kids. And so, but he really felt as he was praying that God had launched them on. As he's praying one day, he's in his prayer closet, and he, you know, he was actually in debt. You know, at this time, he probably had about $40,000 of debt that he had accumulated over these years doing ministry. You know, and so as he's praying, he really felt like God was going to release him of this debt. He didn't know how it was going to happen. And, you know, and sort of the promise, you know, from the Lord to Bob was that, you know, the first payment I'm going to send your way is $10,000. U.S., not Hong Kong, right? U.S. dollars and stuff. And so he goes off to speak at a retreat, you know, that week. And actually at a church. And as he's speaking at the church, the pastor, you know, and you got to understand, Korean churches never do this, right? The pastor actually was so convicted, you know, during that time that he had an offering, right? So he had the whole church make an offering, you know, to give to Pastor Oh and things. And I mean, Korean churches, they don't do that. They just give an honorarium, right? They just take some money out of the church account and they give an honorarium and stuff. But this time the pastor was like, you know, I just feel moved in my heart to give you an offering. And so the whole church gathered together and they gave him an offering. And the pastor actually, the way he was telling the story was actually very reluctant to give him the offering. It was one of the biggest offerings they ever received in their church. And it was $9,000. You know, and so he gives, you know, sort of gives, you know, Pastor O the offering. And so he receives the offering. And so, you know, he didn't look at it. He went back to his hotel room and he opens up the envelope and he sees $9,000. You know, most of us, we'd be like, woo! Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, jumping up on the bed and stuff. And, you know, but you know what he did? He went back to his prayer closet and he said, God, this is not enough. You told me $10,000, right? This is only $1,000 short. You know, and so he's just waiting. He's just praying. He says, God, you know, come on. You know, you said $10,000. I'm not going to settle for anything less than what you have in mind for me and stuff. And so he continues on. Well, that evening, he calls his wife, who's back in California at their church. And his wife, she tells him, hey, you know, the weirdest thing happened today. You know, I was at church, and this newcomer came to our church. And he walked up to me after the service. And I don't even know who he was. And he just gave me an envelope. And he said, the Lord wants me to give this to your husband, you know. And so she gets this envelope, you know, and she goes home and opens it up. And guess how much is in there? $1,000. Whoa, you guys are bright, right? $1,000, you know. And so she gets $1,000, and he tells her, and then he's like, "Oh, see, you know what I mean? It's like a done deal, you know. This is when prayer becomes an adventure. You know what I mean? And prayer becomes a way for us to really interact with God." You know, it's a way for us to really experience God. You know, the sad thing will be about our Christian lives? The sad thing is that we never really gave it the effort. Or we never really gave it the time. Or we really didn't take it seriously enough to let God be God. You know, and not necessarily to challenge God, but just to allow God to be God. You know, and thus experience Him in the way that He desires for us to experience Him. You know, in a lot of our lives, we'll close ourselves off to the Lord. You know, one of the biggest things that I find, I think I'm going to preach a little bit on this in a few weeks when I speak in the Korean congregation, you know, is that most of us, if you're going to be really honest, we're a bit afraid of God. I mean, you know, I'm going to get on a core level here. Some parts of us, we're actually quite afraid of God. We feel like if I get close to God, He might send me to Africa, you know, or He might send me to Timbuktu, you know, or He might send me to Afghanistan. You know what I mean? And there's that fear inside of us, and we have like this kind of twisted idea of God, that if I really give my heart to God fully, right, then my life is going to be miserable. You know, I won't be able to have fun anymore. You know, I'm going to be in this straitjacket for the rest of my life. You know, and trust me, if you begin to go through the layers, you begin to find out that there is this sort of innate fear inside of us, and this fear causes us not to express ourselves to God. But you know what gets robbed? We get robbed. You know, because then we don't get to experience the fullness of what God has for us in our lives. All right, I say this all the time, right? Martin Luther, he said, you know, one of the biggest things, you know, for most of us as Christians, right, we don't get to experience the fullness of God. Right? We don't get to experience all that God had in mind for us because we tend to close ourselves off a little bit. You know, it could be fears. It could be maybe disappointments in your life. You know, maybe you had prayed for your mom or dad years ago, you know, to get healed or something, and then they die. You know, or you prayed for your parents to get out of this financial situation, and you prayed for your grandmother, and she never got healed, and, you know, and she had to suffer the rest of her life. And we have this kind of animosity towards God that sort of builds up. You know, but then if we really begin to understand and just, you know, begin to walk in fellowship with Him, and as He begins to show His heart and His character to us, we find that it's so different than what we thought it was before. You know, and a lot of us, you know, we think God is some kind of killjoy. You know, God is out to rob us of our joy. You know, He's, you know, kind of like the old Puritan, you know, more of the dark ages. And, you know, don't you dare smile at church. You know, don't you dare laugh, you know, clap your hands, you know, and stuff. And I mean, I heard this actually past week that there was a church, a very large church in Korea, you know, and that, you know, when you go and if you pray just a little bit too loud, they'll tell you to be quiet. And so I actually want to go there. I just got to shout from the top of my lungs, man, you know, and stuff. And actually, I'm not going to do that, but. Maybe, you know, but it's like kind of like, you know, it's like, shh, you know. I mean, how many times have we gone to church as little kids, you know, and we're, you know, just being little kids, and all of a sudden some elder, shh, you know, be quiet, you know, you're in God's house and stuff. And man, I don't think God wants us to be quiet. I don't know. You know, you didn't notice, I don't get really upset when kids are loud, because that's their job, right? You know, I mean, if I was a kid, I was the loudest one around. and stuff. And just because you go to God's house doesn't mean all of a sudden, you know what I mean? You got to understand what I'm trying to say? And stuff. And his character and the way we think of God may not necessarily be who God is really like. You know, but the sad part is that we'll miss out on something. Right? We'll miss out on the joy of experiencing God. Like the story I said, you know, for Pastor Bob, you know, man, you know, he walks in that place and he knows, man, God is my provider. Right? He is Jehovah Jireh, like the scripture says he is. He is the God that provides for me. You know, so I don't have to be dependent upon, you know, this kind of job or this church to, you know, finance. Man, my boss is God. He's the one that provides my salary. You know what happened? He did that. He decided to do that in July. You know, by November, you know, all $40,000 were paid off. Can you believe that? You know, God had just supernaturally begin to move in his life. And, you know, so he, you know, he walks around with a little bit of confidence. You know what I mean? And so he walks around like he knows somebody. You know, someone really high up. You know, that's going to back him up in whatever he does. And so thus, he lives a life of adventure. You know, because there's no more fear anymore. Right? I mean, there's something that God had put inside of him. Right? He had experienced God. But the reality of who God truly was. Right? Not just some figment of imagination. Right? And he began to look at the scriptures. And now when he read the scriptures, it became alive to him. Because he experienced that same exact thing in his own life. You know, and that's what I want to lead you into, right? And an adventure with God. You know, and that's what one of the main avenues by which we enter into this adventure is through prayer. Right? Prayer is not just some kind of chore. You know, it's not just some kind of verbal transaction that you make with God. Prayer is a doorway by which we live our life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Prayer is the entrance, right, to the entry point by which we walk in fellowship and intimacy with Jesus Christ. Right? You can't get that anywhere else. You know, we have the incredible privilege, right, of being able to connect and begin to discuss and talk with this incredible God, right, who made the heavens and the earth. And he gives us that privilege to walk into his Holy of Holies and to communicate with him. You know, and as we communicate with him, the crazy thing is we begin to be changed. You know, like you don't have to tell people anymore, stop sleeping with each other. You know, as you begin to pray and get into God's presence, you begin to realize you just change. You know, you don't have to tell people, oh, you got to stop doing these things in your life. You know, you got to have integrity. You know, as you walk in God's presence and as you communicate with him, you just begin to change, right? Transformation. You know, and a lot of us, as we go to church, we're so preoccupied with what we call behavior modification, right? Well, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. And we try so hard not to do this, and we try so hard not to do that. You know, and we lose out on what God really wants to do in our lives, right? Not just modify behavior, but inner transformation. You know, and so if you notice that, you know, when I preach, hopefully you've noticed in the past year, I don't say just you have to pray more or you have to do this more, right? I eliminate that from my vocabulary because that's not the point. It's not doing or not doing. It's getting into God's presence. It's communicating with God. And as you communicate with him, you become changed. It just works out that way. It's a byproduct of walking in relationship with God. You know, and then the conviction of God comes and we begin to, you know, to align our life, you know, next to his life. And just things just begin to happen. And you feel like these things that you had just begin to just wipe all over you. You know, maybe you had a problem with smoking, you know, in the past. And it would just bother you so much. And all of a sudden you start walking with the Lord. And you realize, you know, I don't really have the urge to smoke anymore. And I don't have the urge to do these things anymore. Because you're walking in fellowship with him. You know, and the avenue by which this happens is through prayer. It's through prayer. You know, the last few weeks we talked about what prayer was. Right? What is prayer, right? We talked about very simply. And so I want to do this like every week, one week and the next week. I want to talk about very foundational things for us. And we talk about what stuff is like. What is prayer? And I remember last week we went a little deeper into prayer. You know, and to get sort of more of a spiritual aspect to that. And so I'm going to do it again this week. This week I'm going to talk about why we pray. You know, hopefully you thought about this, right? If he's a sovereign God, in other words, God does whatever he wants, anytime he wants, why does he need my involvement? Why do I need to pray? You know, or maybe you tackle this bigger question. If everything is predestined, why should I pray? You know, I remember because I'm not a Calvinist so much. I'm like a 3-point Calvinist. I would consider myself. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'll explain later. You know, and I had this discussion with this guy that was like a hyper Calvinist. You know, and so we got in this debate about, you know, predestination. You know, in other words, does God orchestrate everything and we have no say in it? You know, or what's the whole point here? And so I got in this discussion with this guy, and it was just getting nowhere, right? We were just butting heads, and you know what I did? I mean, I sort of have unorthodox methods. I punched him in the chest while we're talking. I said, you know what? You can't blame me for that. He says, why? Because according to your thinking, that was predestined, right? And so I hit you, but see, it's not my fault, because God predestined it to happen. And I thus begin to show him the fault of his logic. Right, because then you take that thought further out, and we have no human responsibility whatsoever. In that case, why should we be guilty about the sins that we commit? If God, you guys understand this thought, right? You know, whenever you have to throw these thoughts out, draw it out a little bit more, and then it becomes a lot more clear. And thus you begin to see that it was both, not just one or the other, right? God, remember what I said last week, right? Remember, right? Without God, we can't, but without us, He won't, right? And that's probably the simplest way I can sort of define this huge theological jungle, you know, for us. And so, right, like, you know, does a sovereign, all-powerful God, does He really need our involvement or not? You know, is prayer really that necessary? Is it or isn't it? You know, and if it's really necessary, why? Why is it necessary? You know, I mean, besides, you know, people say, and I used to hate when people told me this, because the Bible says so. Well, I mean, that's sort of a good answer, but it doesn't tell me the why. You know what I mean? Just, okay, yeah, so because, you know, like, remember when you were little and your parents said, because I said so, right? You know, that never, I mean, if you were, maybe when you were a little kid, that worked. As you got older and stuff, you go, that doesn't work with me anymore. Why? You know, and like, I play with my little nephew all the time. You know, it's like, favorite word now is why? Why? Oh, because of why? You know, because of why? You know, it sort of drives me. I don't want to talk to him anymore, right? It's because he's in that, like, age where he's trying to learn and he's trying to figure out, well, I do this, but why do I do this, right? And we all, you know, need to come to that point eventually. Let me read a quote. This is E.M. Bounds. And in fact, if you were to read any author on the subject of prayer, I recommend reading E.M. Bounds. He wrote like 6 books all on the topic of prayer, you know, and they're all excellent books. He's a little older, so it's a little, you know, like written in an older style, but he's just an excellent author. And E.M. Bounds, he says this in understanding this. He says, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries on His great work upon the earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of His cause on prayer. John Wesley, the father of the Methodist movement, he would say it another way. He says, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. You know, a very famous quote that we see. And so we see that all throughout spiritual giants, all throughout history, have looked at prayer as something that was, you know, paramount in our life as a Christian. You know, but we, you know, sometimes we can get lost in understanding these things. But again, what does the Bible say about prayer? Turn to Matthew chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, there's actually, we bought a couple Bibles, and you can grab one on the side there. So, you know, it's not Matthew chapter 18. It's chapter 7. I'm sorry. No, it's not chapter 7. You know, I decided this year to type out all my messages. You know, and you know when you type, you make little errors there. I'm sorry, it's Matthew chapter... it's Luke 18. There we go, that's why. Sorry, guys. I know you guys were all over me there. Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall God not bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, for he will delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, to understand this parable a little bit, you have to understand, right? Jesus is saying this is an unrighteous judge. In other words, this guy was a crook, you know? He was not godly in any way. And this unrighteous guy, this ungodly guy, if he's going to change his mind and bring justice, a person that doesn't want to bring justice actually brings justice and hears this woman out. He's saying, how much more will a loving Heavenly Father, right, begin to change, right, and begin to draw us and really hear us and answer us? Now, I just have, I think, what is it, 8 points here. We're just going to go through these, right? Number one, we pray, number one, because Jesus asks us to. Very simple, right? We pray, number one, because Jesus asks us to pray, right? He says here in chapter 18, verse 1, at all times, they ought to pray and not to lose heart. See, prayer is a key in our lives. We are in if you look at the fact, we are commanded to pray. And so, very easily, if you want to walk in obedience, right, to God, you know, you want to obey the Lord, you want to, you know, love Him, the way by which we enter into this action with Him is through prayer. Right? We simply pray. The why of prayer, real simply, is because Jesus asked us to. Right? We are commanded to pray. And you don't have to turn here, but in Matthew 26, 41, it says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? Each one of us, we are commanded to pray. I'll get later on about what happens when we don't pray. But right now, this one. Number two, prayer. Right? Number one, Jesus asked us to pray. Number two, prayer is the only way to get things from God. Right? It's the only way to get things from God. This is one of my life verses. James chapter 4, verse 2. It says, you have not because you ask not. I said this before. I don't want to get to heaven one day, you know, and say, God, why didn't I have this or why didn't I have that? And God says, man, you don't got it because you didn't ask me, fool. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, golly. You know, but that's just a simple case, right? You have not because you ask not. And stuff. And so if you want to receive something from the Lord, you have to ask Him. You know, after I sort of read this verse and after it sort of like really dug inside of me, I ask all the time now. You know, and some people think I'm really rude sometimes. I just say, hey, can I have that? Or, hey, can I, you know, right? You have not because you ask not. And stuff, you know, like I'll call my dentist and say, hey, you have time right now? I'm going to come over. Hurry up, you know, kind of thing. And you know, it's okay. You know, you have not because you ask not. You know, I mean, you know, I told this story in early morning prayer. You know, when I was in Sages, when I was a youth pastor, and I really felt like I needed to get some further education. And so I wanted to go to school. I wanted to go to seminary. You know, and that, this was a new thing because I didn't want to go to school before. And I had seen too many of my friends that were really on fire for God, really loved God. And then they got into seminary, and they just became just cold turkeys, man, right? They were just so anal, you know, like, you can't do that, you know. And you know what I mean? Just like kind of like, it's not fun to be around with anymore, right? It's like every sense of their life, you know, zest for life had just disappeared. You know, now they were just religious, you know, and stuff. And I couldn't stand those religious guys, you know, and stuff. And they didn't, you know, like, you know, if I talk about basketball, they thought I was sinning or something. You know what I mean? You know, even though basketball is a heavenly sport, right? We're going to play basketball in heaven anyway. So, you know, and we, you know, we're doing this whole thing, and it's just like, I just didn't want to be, and God began to slowly change my heart. So I wanted to go to seminary. And so, you know, I said, God, you put this desire in my heart, because it didn't come from me, right? I mean, this, you know, I didn't want to go to school, but Lord, you put this desire in my heart. So, you know, seminary costs a lot of money, so you better pay for the way, right? You have not because you asked. I said, okay, Lord, I'll be waiting, you know? You know, I don't know if money was going to fall from a tree, or I don't know what was going to happen. Like I said, the next week, I'm at church on Sunday. I walk out of our youth service, and I'm just sort of chilling, and then all of a sudden, one of the elders in our church walks up to me, and he hands me this check, or actually this envelope, right? It had like $20, $50 in there. He gives me this envelope, and he says, study hard. You know, and in the Korean, like, 공부 열심히, right? And so, which means study hard, okay? I'm telling you, I'm going to teach you Korean along the way, right? And so, you know, and so I like, at first I was like, what the heck, you know? And I got it, and I realized, wow, this is an answer to prayer, right? I have because I asked, right? If you have not because you asked not, right? I have because I asked. You know, and so, and every time we're in a situation, I just ask, you know, and God just provides incredibly. You know, that whole first semester, you know, after, you know, I got the $1,000, and that was my down payment, you know, for starting that quarter. And then I had like three different speaking engagements. You know, and through the honorariums, I was able to pay that whole first semester off, the first quarter. And then, you know, the next quarter, you know, the whole year, I got this scholarship from this church I didn't even know. They just gave me like $6,100 scholarship out of nowhere. And so I said, thanks, man. I never saw him again. You know, I just thank you, you know. And I, you know, finished the school. I mean, it's just God's just abundant grace. But see, but I have because I asked. You know, and it's amazing. Some of you guys, you know, like, some of you guys want to get married, right? I mean, it's no joke. Because every time I talk about it, your eyes go ding, right? Now, some of us, we think we're too spiritual to ask God for a husband. Right? Maybe not. I'm like, no, not me, you know, and stuff. But, you know, I mean, those are the long part for me. You know, I don't want to be married. I thought it was just too selfish of me to ask God for a wife, you know, and stuff. And so I pray about all different things. And it just dawned on me one day, buffoon, you have not because you ask not. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so ever since that day, I was praying, oh, God, you know, and stuff. And not that I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I want her to be about 5'6", you know, brown hair, you know, curly hair, you know, and nothing like that. But just asking, Lord, just give me a wife. And then I begin to pray for my wife. You know, one of my good friends, she was one of my intercessors, a really incredible woman of God. Ever since she was a little girl, she would pray. She was just really a spiritually gifted girl. She would pray for her husband. You know, I mean, ever since she was a little girl, and all throughout she would journal, you know, prayers and she would receive things from God while she was praying. Well, she eventually married this Japanese American guy, one of the nicest guys around. You know, and you know, he got saved sort of later in life, and she was saved really early in life. You know, and he went through periods, and all he had to do was look through her journal, and it was a mirror of what his life was like. It was absolutely amazing. And he told me one day, as he was reading one of her journals, because he had spent these 2 years, they're like the two toughest years of his life, just before he had met this girl. You know, and during those 2 years, you know, he began to read the journal, her journal, you know, and like some of the things she was writing, her prayers are like, Lord, would you protect my husband? You know, would you watch over him, you know? And he said as he was reading this journal, he would just begin to weep because he saw God's providence and he saw God's hand on him way before, even before he even knew her, you know? And she's writing and she's praying, right? And that prayer carried him. And then they finally met, right? And now they've got a beautiful little girl. I mean, it's such a beautiful story, right? But she has because she asked. Can you imagine how many things are moving in our life? Right, that we are, you know, waiting for or something, or we want God to do, but we just don't ask. We just think we're like super spiritual or something, or maybe we're spiritually bashful, or you know, I mean, I don't know what it is, right? But you have not because you ask not. You know, one of my friends, Eric, who's a missionary evangelist, he was one day he was ministering at this church, and this guy walked up to him, and he says, you know, I made a lot of money, I got some investments, and the Lord, you know, the Lord told me. Right, that you know, I'm supposed to support you, you know, and that I'm going to give you a large chunk of money, you know. And then Eric, in his sort of false humility, he goes, oh, no, that's okay. The guy left. He goes, okay. And he just took off. You know how, like, the Asian thing is, like, you say no, was it no twice? You know, three, is it three times, right? It's Korean, is it? Oh, three times two? Well, I only just say once, right, and stuff. And, you know, it's like, you know, can you, oh, no, and then no, right, and then It's just a kind of formality, right? I mean, you know, nothing's going to really happen through that and stuff. And so he tried to say, oh, no, that's okay. And the guy just took off, you know, and he missed out, right? Because, I mean, he needed the money, right? I mean, he's got these things going on all over, you know, Africa, you know, that he's doing these crusades and he's supporting all these, you know. He could have used, you know, the cash, right? But you have not because you ask not. You know, sometimes when that opportunity is in front of us, you know, a little false humility, just say yes, man. You know, I mean, so-and-so, okay, fine. You want to bless me? Sure. But I'm not going to say no, right? I mean, you know what I mean? It's just, and it's not like being arrogant or, right? It's just, you have not because you ask not, right? I mean, think about all these things in our life that God would love to pour out upon us. I'm not just talking about material things, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, one of those, you know, name it, claim it kind of preacher. I'm not into that kind of stuff, right? The word of faith, that's not part of my spiritual heritage. You know, but you know, so I'm not talking about just material things. I'm talking about things in our life. How much joy, how much peace, right? Shalom that God wants to bring us into our lives. You know, how he wants to take our relationships and begin to heal them and bring restoration, right, with our parents and grandparents and siblings and all these wonderful things that God wants to do in our lives. But you have not because you ask not. Right? Prayer, right, is the only way that you can get stuff from God. You know, material stuff and spiritual stuff. Also, prayer, right, is a doorway, an avenue for your joy to be completed. Turn to John chapter 16. Right? There is joy in prayer. How many of you guys recently had a prayer request that you offered up to the Lord and God answered it? Anyone happened to anyone recently? Right, you had a prayer request and God answered your prayer request? No one? You guys pray or what? Boy, you got one? You want to share with us? No? Okay, but you got one though. Right? You got one too? No, you got one. But anyone else? How did you feel? Great, right? Right? Great? You know, were you like, thanks God, yeah. I didn't really need it, but you know, you felt great. Right? You know, when we pray and God answers in the whole transaction, we get filled with joy. Right? John, right, chapter 16, 24. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Right? Other translation, that your joy may be complete. You know, so that means you can have some joy in your life. Right? We have some joy. But when you pray and God interacts with you in prayer, our joy, the little bit of joy we get, boom, becomes completed. Praise God. You know, and so prayer is a doorway where we become complete in our joy. Right? And you know, and joy is one of these things that transcends emotions. You know what I mean? You know, you can be happy, right? Happy is but joy is a supernatural thing in a lot of ways that transcends our emotions. There's something that puts inside. That's why the Bible talks about this joy unspeakable. You know, that there it's almost like something is inside of us and just gets welled up and we can't contain it anymore. You know, it was like the last time I remember was like when the Lakers won the championship. Oh my goodness, man. You know, or when the Angels won. Oh my gosh, my wife and I, we were just going crazy. Right? I mean, that's my long-suffering team for a long time. The Angels are a baseball team in California, if you guys don't know. And so, and this joy, but see, even that joy was just, it's just okay, you know? I mean, joy, but my joy was what became complete, you know, when I begin to experience things in God, and I really begin to understand what that's like. You know, there's some things that can give you happiness in life. You know what I mean? You know, like going on vacation can bring happiness. You know, doing a lot of things can bring us happiness. You know, but joy, in a lot of ways, I believe, comes from God. You know, and there's fullness. You know, the amazing thing sometimes about prayer and about this joy is sometimes when I'm praying for something, just the knowledge that God cares for me to answer me is worth more than the answered prayer. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, for me personally, you know, I could pray about stuff and, you know, whatnot. And just the fact that God is actually listening to me and He cares about me enough to answer me, that is more precious to me than whatever thing I was praying for. You know, the knowledge of this incredible, omniscient, powerful God. And here's little old me. You think about this, right? You know, you guys ever taken like astronomy or study the universe? You know, we got these billions of stars, you know, out there, and just, you know, whole different galaxies. And amongst all the galaxies, you know, the whole, we have this solar system. You know, and amongst the solar system, we got this one planet, you know, Earth. And among the planet, you know, we have this little, not even a country, right? You know, it's a special administrative region, right? And you know, and we got this little, you know, I mean, little blip, really, on the globe. You know, and out of that, there's a little, you know, a little house, you know, over in Apalachicola and stuff. And, you know, and then there, you got to understand what I'm getting at, right? And then there's little old me, you know, on my knees praying to God. You know, and this incredible God that built this huge, huge thing called the universe, and He cares enough to answer my prayer. Trust me, that is maybe for me, maybe not for you, but that's more precious to me than just the fact that I received something or God answered me something. You know, and I know this is really deep, man, right? I mean, you guys are probably swimming in the ocean right now, so deep and things, but man, go home and just reflect on that a little bit. You know, just take it piece by piece. Go from big and just begin to, and then there's this huge God that did all that, right? And even though He did all that, He cared enough to listen to us And not just to listen to us, but to answer us. Amazing. Right? Absolutely amazing. You know, and this is why he says when that happens, when you see and understand the breadth and the depth of all these things, right, God releases the complete joy. Right? He completes this joy in our life, and that's what he wants us to really walk in. Right? So we pray. Why? The why we pray. We pray because Jesus asked us to. We pray because prayer is the only way to get things from God. We pray because God gives us joy and completes that joy. And number four, we pray because prayer will save us out of all of our troubles. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 34. Just incidentally, I know this is really petty, but sort of a pet peeve. Please don't say Psalms 34. It's Psalm 34, okay? It's the book of Psalms, okay? So, and it's Job, not Job, okay? You know, things like that. Just a little pet peeves later on. Psalm 34, verse 6, right? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Prayer, right, this communication you have will save you out of your troubles. Right, this is a promise from God. You know, are you in trouble? You know, maybe you're in trouble. Maybe you have not because you asked not. You right? See how all these things sort of interrelate with each other? Right? Prayer saves us from all of our troubles. Right? Prayer will unlock. Right? God's power will unlock the door to solutions. You know, hey guys, have you guys anyone this last week or so? Were you guys in some kind of, you know, sort of predicament? You know, maybe some kind of trouble, and you prayed, and God. Anyone happen to anyone this week? Maybe everyone's life was okay and smooth. No one's like was in a predicament this week or this month. Last month, this month just started. Last month, this year, last year, right? No one? Poyoung too? Oh, see? Is Poyoung the only one that prays in this church? Huh? What is wrong with you guys? Right? You know, and he's saved out of your troubles. I mean, it's just an amazing thing that we see God moving in our lives. And you know, and you got to see how God interacts and God moves, and it brings adventure, right? And we, you know, even more so, you even want to pray, right? So prayer saves out of our... Number five, prayer can unlock the treasure chest of God's wisdom. Prayer can unlock the treasure chest of God's wisdom. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 5. James 1, 5, very famous passage. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Right? Any of you lack wisdom? Right? Any knuckleheads here? Right? I'll raise two hands, man, right? You know, anyone lack wisdom, right? He says, God says, just ask me. Right? And I'll give generously. You know, see, wisdom is one of these things. Now, let me define. Wisdom is what we call skill at living life. Very basic. Intelligence, right, is cognitive, but wisdom goes beyond our cognitive level. You know, I mean, have you ever seen people that are really smart, but are really dumb, if you know what I mean? You know, like I share with you, one of my good friends back at home, I mean, she is like a mathematical genius. You know, she would get straight A's in her applied mathematics, I mean, upper division math courses. You know, she's so smart, a Korean company actually, you know, took her to Korea for a whole summer, paid her oogles of money, right, just to be an intern, right, took care of all that, and then paid for her graduate school, and she was getting A pluses in her grad school classes. You know, I mean, this girl was bright mathematically when it came to life, you know. Duh. I was just like the most amazing thing. You would never think. I mean, she's a typical cheerleader, you know, kind of, you know, she's a nice girl and stuff, but when it came to life, it was just like, my dad would always say, lights are on, but nobody's home, right? And stuff. And she's sort of like that, unfortunately. You know, and so, you know, so wisdom goes above intelligence. You know, it's skill at living life. You know, we have intelligence, that's good. You know, some of you guys are gifted with intelligence, some of us are not. You know, and so we don't choose. That doesn't really matter, right? What matters is how we apply our intelligence, right? And that would be one of the aspects of wisdom. But a lot of times, wisdom is stuff that we can receive from God. You know, and trust me, that whole adage that wisdom, right, you get wiser as you get older, that's really not true, right? I think as you get older, you just get senile, right? And stuff, and you start losing your mind a little bit, you know, and that's not necessarily, but it's people that have learned through their age. Yeah, in that case, that works out that way, right? And so I guess the joke came, you're too late with the jokes, man. Come on, get on board here. and stuff. And so, right, and so we have this idea, right? But wisdom unlocks the treasure chest of God's wisdom. You know, I mean, I bet you if we went around this room right now, each of us would be going through two or three major incidences in our life. Maybe dilemmas or things that we need to really get an answer for. And we would just love for God to answer us. You know, some of you guys are praying about, you know, what school to go to. You're praying about, you know, if you should leave Hong Kong, you know, or what job to take. Or I mean, there's so many things that are going on, you know, in our lives. Wouldn't it be great, right, if God gave us the key to understanding what's going on, to unlock the treasure chest of wisdom? Wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, like all these decisions that we're thinking about and we're making, that we could just, okay, God, boom, unlock, and all of a sudden God's wisdom comes to us. What's that key? It's prayer. Right? Prayer unlocks, right, the treasure chest of God's wisdom. Right? If you lack wisdom, what he says, ask, and I'll give you generously. And notice if you look at the word there, he says, I'll give to all men, right? To give it to all men generously without reproach. And it'll be given to him. That's amazing. Right? I mean, you know, each of us, there's so many things going on, especially at an age of where many of you are at right now. You know, there's so many decisions to make, so many choices. You know, and, you know, I mean, wouldn't you, I mean, you want to do what you want to do, or you want God's best for you? You know, you want to do the good thing, or you want to do the God thing? You know what I mean? And stuff, and because understanding, we walk in the God thing, and that comes with God's full blessing, right? And it has eternal value through it all. You know, and we do our thing. You know, and you never know, it could fail, it could, you know, bum out. I mean, there's all kinds of roads that they'll lead to, you know, and stuff. But don't you want God's best in our life? You know, we get that as we pray and we can unlock, right, the treasure chest of him. I mean, this happens all the time. One of Lisa's best friends, he's one of the most famous elders in the L.A. area, you know, and he has an engineering company. And what he does, and he's got a couple patents under his name. Right, and all he does, he sits at his desk and he just prays, you know, and he just figures stuff out, and God gives him these incredible ideas, you know. And then this guy makes millions of dollars, you know, and he gives millions of dollars to the church. I've never seen anyone give like this guy. I mean, $1 million checks to the church, right? And this guy wasn't kidding when he said, God, if you bless me, I'll be a blessing, you know. And a lot of people say that, Lord, bless me, you know, and inside our hearts, it's like, well, I don't know, man, you know. You guys don't understand what I'm saying, right? I mean, I meet a lot of businessmen that when they start in the business, oh, yeah, I want God to really bless, you know, really bless. I'm going to give so much to missions and stuff like that. And it doesn't happen, right? It just doesn't pan out. And I think a lot of times God doesn't bless them because he knows what's deep inside their heart, you know, and stuff. And unfortunately, sometimes it works out that way and stuff. And this guy is actually a guy, and he sits at his desk, and he just asks God for wisdom, you know, and all of a sudden he just thinks, hey, what? I just figured out $1 million patent, you know, and he's, you know what I mean? And this happens all the time. It happens to people all over the place. You know, I was, I told you I used to live, you know, many years ago. I spent a little time in what Senator Brownback. He's a senator in Kansas. You know, and Brownback was in charge of all of Central Asia. You know, that was his whole thing. You know, and Brownback, as he was sharing, because, you know, my parents were missionaries in Central Asia and stuff. And he had all these meetings with, you know, key presidents, key leaders in all these countries. Central Asia would be like Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, all the stans, right? And stuff. And so, he said, you know, Brownback said he was just praying one day, and he's asking the Lord, Lord, how can I bring out a plan, right, for all these, you know, countries, these new forming countries that would, you know, like economically, you know, socially, you know, and sort of politically and all these things. And how can I come up with this thing and to draw all these things together? And he said, as he was praying, asking God for wisdom, boom, just the lights went off in his head. You know, and they called it the Silk Road Plan. You know, and this plan is in effect to this day, right? And it's all centered upon the Silk Road trade. And he's linking all these countries through the Silk Road trade. And then he's using something from the ancient past, and he's bringing it to life today. You know, and so the other presidents like Karamov and these other guys said, wow, you're a genius. How did you come up with this thing? You know, and it's time to give God glory. Well, I was praying one day, and God gave me this plan. You know, he asked God for wisdom, right? And God granted him wisdom. Now, he's a God. I know many of the things that he does, right? He prays to the Lord, and he asks God to, especially as a senator, ask God to give him wisdom. And then God moves on his behalf. You know, just like he blessed Solomon, you know, in days of old, he can bless our lives if we would ask him. We pray to unlock that door, right? Unlock the treasure chest of wisdom that God wants to give to us. Number six, prayer is a channel of power. Right? Prayer is a channel of power. Jeremiah 33:3, you don't have to look there, but it says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Right? Prayer is a way that we can begin to operate and move in power. You know, people are sick around you. You know how you can bring heaven to earth? Pray for them. Ask God to heal them. And ask God to move in their life. Right? Prayer is a channel of this power in our lives. How many of you guys have ever been sick or things, and you prayed, and God healed you? Right? Well, there's many of us in this room. Right? And the avenue by which this power flows is through prayer. Well, that's happened to me so many times. I prayed for so many other people. You know, when they were sick or things happening, you know, I prayed and God released power. It didn't come out of my hands or anything like that. Right? But it was something that God put inside of me, put inside of every single one of us, the Holy Spirit. Right? And it became activated and moved and it touched people and they were healed. Right? Prayer, right, is the channel of power in our lives. Now, the flip side, number seven, prayerlessness is sin. Don't ever get that messed up. If prayer is all these things, prayerlessness or the lack of prayer is sin. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 12. First Samuel chapter 12 is the chapter dealing with Israel. Israel had asked Samuel for a king, right? Actually, the line was that Samuel, you know, and if you actually, let me go back historically a little bit. You can't really fault the people. You can in one bit, but Samuel's kids were the biggest knuckleheads around, and so they knew that it was priestly progression, right? It's transferred on. They didn't want these kids, his kids, to be judged, right? To be over them, and so they asked for a king. So you can sort of understand their mentality, right? But when they did that, right, they sort of didn't trust God to be their king, unfortunately, because they saw all these other guys, nations have kings. We want a king, you know. And so they begin to plead to Samuel, and so Samuel, right, God offered them and granted their request. And you know what happened, right? Just disaster happens. These kings, and you know, later on, you know, the kingdom gets divided into two kingdoms, and then, you know, the southern kingdom, northern kingdom, and one whole side, all the kings are bad, and the other side, one out of every three is good, and you know, and so, I mean, this really was a road to disaster, and God foresaw that, but he gives them over. You know, that's a really interesting thing. A lot of times, God can foresee disaster in our lives, you know, but we're so adamant about it, and we don't listen to heed the voice of God, and so we go off, you know, and eventually disaster does come, calamity does come, and it's always God that waits graciously to bring us back. And he just always says, man, if you would have chose this path, it would have been so much easier for you. It would have been so much better for you, so much prosperous for you. You know, but yet you chose to go your own way, and it led to this. You know, and I think that's a good warning for some of us. You know, and so that's what happened in this case. And so Samuel comes up to them, and he begins to tell them what they need to do. You guys messed up. You guys blew it. But this is what I want you to do. Return to the Lord. Seek his face. On and on. And he says this in verse 23. Actually, let's go to verse 20. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And you must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things, which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. That's exactly what I was talking about, right? And then it continues on. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Right? I mean, this is God's character. Look, these guys are going to make a mistake. They ask the wrong thing, and God's going to give it over to them. Right? And so hopefully they'll learn something through this. And so, but Samuel makes it clear, but God will not abandon you. Right? Just like this, right? He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though you make a mistake, even though you go the wrong way, God will never abandon you. Right, man, that should give us some kind of confidence, some kind of surety in our lives. And not only will not abandon you, right? He has called you by his name. You're a people. And he says, and Samuel goes off, but listen to what I'm going to do as a leader. I'm not going to stop praying for you. In fact, I'm going to keep praying for you, right? Because if I don't, I'm sinning against God. You know, not praying is not just a bad habit. You know what I mean? Prayerlessness is not just a bad choice. Prayerlessness is just not a bad circumstance. Prayerlessness is sin. Have you noticed that when you don't pray, you feel disconnected with God? Have you noticed that in your life? When you're not praying, you just feel so far away from God. You know why? Because you committed a sin. Because when you don't pray, right, just the distance grows further and further and further and further away. Because that's the wages of sin is death. You know, and that's just one of those facts, you know, upon our lives. And so prayerlessness is sin. And so Samuel says, man, far be it for me to sin against God by not praying for you and not teaching you. You know, and so for me, I'm compelled to pray for you guys. You know what I mean? It's just because I realize, I mean, just not knowing that, I mean, obviously, if I pray for you, it's a good thing. But on top of that, if I don't pray for you, I'm committing a grievous sin before God. You know, in the same way that we would, you know, we would look upon, a certain acts, you know, that people do in the world and stuff. We think, oh, how disgusting or how gross, you know, like. I read in the internet, actually, through ESPN.com, best website in the world. But, you know, I was going through that, and there was a story of this, this Japanese pitcher. You know, he was trying to break it into the major leagues. You guys read this thing? He was a Japanese pitcher, but when he was in college, he actually made a gay porno video. You know, and so he was about to get drafted in Japan. You know, he's like the best pitcher, college pitcher in Japan. He was about to get drafted, and the tabloids came out that he had made this gay porn video. You know, and so the whole Japanese major league said no. But the commissioner said no one will draft this guy. And so now this guy's in the States. He's trying out for the major leagues, you know. And so, you know, I was reading this thing. I was like, oh, gross, disgusting. Oh, my goodness, you know. You know, everything that, you know, us homophobes do all the time, right? And so when we're looking at that, but then we see that part. And then it's like, well, I don't pray today. And we think, bad habit. It's okay. God loves me. You know? And stuff. And God sees those two things as the same. You know? You know, God never lists sin. You know what I mean? There's no one sin that's more grievous than another sin, except sinning against the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that another time. You know, like all these, you know, little things, like, you know, like little snide remark that you make, you know, a little white lie. You know, that's as grievous to God as if I was sitting here and I just choke Mike to death, you know, in front of plain sight, everybody, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I mean, and God looks at those things as the same. You know, he doesn't say, okay, kill Mike, minus 10, you know, and, you know, white lie, you know, minus 2. I mean, it doesn't work that way. Sin is sin. Sin is death. And when we don't pray, right, and when we don't, you know, it's as grievous as anything that we can see in the world. You know, and that's why, you know, it's interesting enough is when you really begin to understand sin, you don't really judge people that much anymore, right? Because even though, you know, I mean, they may be being stupid and doing all these things, just look at your own heart, right? I mean, that's why Jesus says, man, take a log out of your own eyes, right, before you see a speck in someone else's, you know, because he's drawing that into the analogy of sin is on the same page. Right, there's no grievous, you know, sin in other, something else, you know, and you know, and of course society has leveled sin, right? But see, God is above and outside the, you know, it's totally different. You know, yeah, you can get 20 years for committing this, and you know, 1 year for this, right? But God doesn't operate that way, right? This or that, it's all death, right? It's all sin, and when we don't pray, it's grievous to God, right? It's a sin. You know, and we lose communication with God. We lose fellowship with Him. And we drift further and further and further and further away. Right? That's just the unfortunate part, but it's the reality part of it all. Right? It is a sin not to pray. It is a sin not to pray. The last one, number 8, it's a great part. Sinners, you know, the why we pray. Sinners can be saved when they pray in faith. Right? Sinners can become saints in an instant when they pray in faith. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. Right, 13. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Right, and he says this, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, right, they shall be saved. Right, sinners can be saved when they pray in faith. You know, that you that are sitting in this room today, and you may not have a relationship with God, but then you begin to realize, man, that I am a sinner. You know, that you may, you know, for a long time for me, I thought I was a nice guy. You know, I did a couple bad things here and there, but I thought generally I was a nice guy. Surely, God, you would accept me. You know, I'm not like, I don't do other things, you know. Like, you know, I've never been drunk in my whole life. You know, I've never been high. You know, I just, you know, and I thought, sure, I mean, those guys, you know, God, you know, I've sort of lived clean, you know. If I just got in a couple fights here and there, but they sort of deserved it, though, you know. So I thought I was like God's justice in a lot of ways. See how my twisted mind works and things. And so, you know, it's like, I'm a pretty good guy. And then the reality hit me that one day that I'm a sinner and that I'm accountable to God. You know, and when you come to that point, if you offer a prayer in faith, you can be saved. That's like the easiest transaction you can make in your whole life. You know what I mean? You can have eternal life after a simple prayer. Amazing, right? I mean, with your heart, obviously, right? You confess with your mouth, right? And believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, right? And he says you'll be saved. Right? So sinners can be saved when they pray in faith. You know, and probably if you look at it, the most telling sign for me personally, this whole idea of why we pray, right, is not just because Jesus told us to. The last one here, because Jesus did it while he was on earth. You know, like one thing that I get amazed about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he could have been out working all day long, I mean, preaching all night long, you know, ministering, loving people. You know, some of you guys have not, you know, some of us have done ministry before, you know, like had people come up and you pray for them and, you know, and you, like, you minister to them. In other words, like, you take care of them and you serve them. And that's what ministry is like. And, you know, and I go on a lot of retreats and things and, you know, we minister and we pray for like 100 people. You know, I mean, just individually spend time. And afterwards, man, I'm so worn out. You know, like, I lose my voice, you know, and I'm just so weak and things. And after Jesus went through that, and not just thousands of people, he prayed and he was teaching, he's doing all these things. And then he goes up to the mountains afterwards. And he spends time with the Father. And he prays. And the thought is, if Jesus needed to do that, right? I ain't no Jesus, man. You know what I mean? I'm pretty far away from being Jesus. If Jesus needed to do that, how much more do I need to do that? Do I need to go before the Father? Right, and walk in intimacy with him. You know, if Jesus really, you know, if he needed to be in community, if he needed to do these things, and I know you guys are really busy, you know, you guys are pulling all-nighters, you know, I can't believe you guys, man, they better pay me millions of dollars if they want me to pull an all-nighter, you know what I mean? And stuff, but, you know, you guys are pulling all-nighters all the time and stuff, and I know it's so easy to forget prayer, you know, prayer is like the bottom of the list and toss it aside. But if Jesus needed to do that, in his biscuit, you know, and he wasn't sitting behind a computer on his butt, you know what I mean? And so that's easy stuff, right? Sitting there, you know, I know you guys are doing instant messaging. Come on now, you guys are working all night long, please. You know, and stuff, and, you know, and all these things. And if Jesus can do that, how much more do we need to? All right, just go before the Father. All right, just go before the Lord and just receive something from him. You know, I said before, you know, well, actually when I was younger, I used to be really into rap music. You know, believe it or not, right? They used to call me MC Samurai, actually. So, I know, it sounds sort of ridiculous, right? Sorry, I'm making you guys look, they're giving me a dirty look right now, right? And stuff, so, but, you know, I mean, ball, because I, you know, I used to play ball and stuff. It's not that funny, man, right? I used to play ball, and, you know, so I was into rap music, and so, you know, I used to rap here and there, and maybe I'll bust a rhyme sometime for you guys. any case, and so, you know, there was this one song that I really, really liked, you know, and I thought they put it in such a great way, right? And I forgot what the name of the song was. And remember A1 Swift, right, back in the day? It's one of the first Christian rap groups, right? And it says, you know, get on my knees, start my day with a prayer. Guess I got to pray just to get me through the day, right? I was good back a long time ago, right? But anyway, that's what that was. And that, when I heard that song, right, I'm just sort of rocking out of my car, right, and listening, and it's just, yeah, right? I get on my knees, start my day with the prayer. I guess I got to pray just to get me through the day, right? Yeah, I still don't get it. Oh, don't do it. Head on goes, don't do that anymore, right? It's a little too painful, sorry, right? And stuff, but I mean, you know, I start my, get on my knees, start my day with prayer, because, man, that's the only way I'm going to make it through the day. And then it's like, it was really weird, because, you know, I was driving, and I was listening to that song, and just something just sort of clicked inside of me. That's it. Lord, I can't do anything without you. You know, ultimately, prayer, I said a few weeks ago, right, is that the ultimate act of humility. You know why? Because prayer says, God, I can't do this, but I know you can. You know, and I've done everything with my own effort. And that's why, if you notice, when you're at your last rope, what do? You pray, right? It's because then you come to the realization, I really can't do this. But how much better that we come to the Lord in the beginning and say, God, I can't do this. So would you give me the strength? And then something rises up inside of you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what I mean? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. And we begin to walk in that. And when we pray, we're just saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. Right? I need you. I need your strength. You know? I need your power in my life. Even just to make it through this day, I need you, God. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Next week, we're going to look a little deeper on this whole topic of why pray. And I'm going to lead you much deeper into this. So this is very elementary. This is very foundational. Next week, we'll really draw deeper into the well before the Lord. But as we reflect on this today, James tells us, you have not because you ask not. Are there things in your life that you believe that you should have, material or spiritual, that you don't right now? Maybe you just never asked. I want to challenge you today. Give you a little time before we have communion. Simply ask Him. Just simply ask Him. You have not because you ask not. So let's ask the Lord. Why don't you spend the next few minutes, let's just go before the Lord and just ask Him. Father, we ask that you would lead us into this adventure of prayer. God, begin to change our attitudes, God. Begin to change our mindset, Lord. God, where once, God, there was death, Lord, bring life, resurrection power. Lord, administer to us, God. Lord, release in us the joy of prayer, God. The joy of intimacy, Lord. The joy of walking with you in fellowship. And in the joy, God, of having you answer our prayers, God. That our joy would be complete. We bless you, Lord. I pray that you'd bless us and help us in our prayer lives, each one of us, God, as we desire to draw near to you, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month, and so this is Communion Sunday. If I can ask Mr. Shin and Sangwon to come, and you're going to be our ushers today. Let's just begin to get our hearts ready to receive the Lord's Supper. Let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man or woman examine himself or herself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." And so, as we take communion, we're going to pass out the elements. I want you to just grab a wafer and some juice. Just hold it in your hands, and we'll take communion together. And as we do that, this is for people that you have said that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know, I know some churches only will serve communion if you're baptized. That's not from the Bible and stuff. So, all right. So if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may partake in communion with us. And if you're not ready now, just let it pass by us. It's okay, right? No worries. And so, and hopefully one day that you'll make that commitment and you can join us in the Lord's Supper and stuff. And so we're going to pass this out, and as we begin to receive, we're going to sing a couple songs and just ask God to really begin to stir our hearts and to really forgive us. You know, just ask the Lord to move through your heart of any sins that you've committed, maybe sins of commission or sins of omission. You know, and just really ask the Lord to really begin to move and ask Him to forgive us, so that when we take the communion, right, we're in incredible perfect fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so just lead us.
I forgive because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. The Spirit lives within. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? That you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's not your what you want.
Get it, just hold on to it, and we'll take it together
in
as a church.
All I honor you. I forgive because you were forsaken, and I've accepted you were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit lives within. Died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor. In all I do, I honor you.
Sing amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. My joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. It'll be his hand, wounded sin. This is love. This is love.
Sacrifice. Now we thank you for your son Jesus and the debt that he paid for us, God. Lord, the death that we were supposed to die. Lord, he became that sacrificial lamb for us, Lord. And we are forever grateful, God. And Lord, in everything we do, God, in terms of prayer, in terms of church, and in terms of the way we live our lives, God, is just a reflection, God, and a way of saying thank you to you, God. Lord, for your sending your son Jesus to us. We thank you for his body, God, that was broken for us. We thank you for, Lord, his blood that was poured out of him. Lord, in excruciating pain for us. And Lord, we will never forget, God. And Lord, we'll remember by living our lives, Lord, according to your word. We bless you. Now, this is the Lord's body broken for you. And this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Amen. Let's take communion together. And as you're finishing, let's arise and let's worship.
Wounded side, this is love, the holy heart was sacrificed, this is love, I bow down to the holy one. I bow down to the Lamb. I bow down to the worthy one. I bow down to the Lamb. Son of God, died for us. This is love. This is love. Walk the hill for the cross. This is love. This is love. I bow down to the Holy One. I bow down to the I bow down to the worthy one. I bow down to the Lamb.
to grab the hand of someone next to you. In case you're still holding on to the one, just throw those offering cups to the side. Let's hold on to someone next to you, as we're doing every week. Let's pray for the person on the right and left of us. Let's ask God to increase our prayer life. Let's ask God to allow us to connect with Him when we pray. But let's pray for one another right now. Give to us to pray to you, God. Lord, to us, Lord, finite beings, Lord, to communicate with such a supreme, intimate, infinite being, God. Lord, and we're so grateful, Lord, and forgive us when we don't pray, God. Lord, I pray that you'd awaken our hearts to you, Lord. And God, even as we pray, God, help us to connect with you, God, to feel your presence, Lord, to know that you're with us, God. But we know that you're always around us, Lord. But come and manifest your presence in our lives, God. That when we get on our knees and we come before you, God, that you meet with us supernaturally, Lord. And we ask, God, that you answer our prayers, Lord. We pray that the prayers that we pray, God, would be biblical prayers, God. That would not come from our selfishness, Lord, but that come from your heart, God. And as we pray, God, because, Lord, that we pray the things that are on your heart, on your mind, that you'd answer us, God. And, Lord, that you'd fill us with your joy, Lord. But I pray that you'd watch over Solomon's porch this week, God. That you'd bless every member here and other members that are traveling right now. Just be with us, Lord. Help us in some way this week, God, to bring glory to your Son, Jesus. We thank you. We bless you, God. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Why don't you hug the person next to you and say, thank you for praying for me. Have a great week. God bless you guys. Please stick around for some refreshments. Can we get some people to collect these little cups?
Shines through, I can feel the God's song. Oh, Praise you when I'm laughing. Praise you when I'm grieving. Praise you every season of the soul. If we could see how much your worth, your power.